Recording from the mega city metropolis of Toronto, you're listening to The Cave of Solitude, your pop culture podcast discussing everything in the kingdom of geek goodness from comic books to music, movies, and more. I'm Eric Anthony.
I'm Jay Siegel.
And welcome to the show. So this is going to be our premiere episode of The Cave of Solitude podcast, and I'm happy to be doing it with my buddy Jay. You excited?
So excited.
All right. Just to give a little backstory, since no one really knows anything about us, how this podcast came to be. Myself, I'm Eric, by the way. I'm an avid comic book collector and overall just a fanboy. I collect movies, music, comic books, like I said, even books. And not a hoarder, but an organized collector. And a little while ago, I discovered something called podcasts, what you're listening to right now, and I didn't realize how much different subjects there were for podcasts out there and that they were free. So I started downloading all of these different comic book related podcasts, things that were interesting to me, and I really enjoyed listening to them, and they sounded like a ton of fun to record because it was a group of guys or somebody who really enjoyed their interest talking to somebody that they got along great with, their buddies, sitting at a round table, and I said, that would be awesome to be able to do that. And what was great about it was not just listening to things you like, but also being given references or other things suggested to you to discover, which was great. And I thought, I'd love to be able to do something like that. But for myself, out of all my buddies, I'm pretty much the only guy who's a fanboy, who goes to comic conventions, who hits a comic shop every week. So probably none of them would have really wanted to do something like this. So about a year ago, I met my buddy Jay at a mutual gathering, and we started talking, realizing that we had a lot of things in common, similar taste in music, books, and I realized he's also a certified fanboy. What's one of the things that you collect personally?
I collect the Robin 3 series.
Mm-hmm.
I forget who it's by. Chuck Dixon.
That's right.
Yeah, that's the one I'm on big.
And when he showed me his collection at the time, I'm like, okay, this guy's got a dedicated collection right now. And he's got a pretty good bookshelf, too, with some graphic novels. So I'm like, okay, this is a budding relationship here. So when I went to a warehouse factory sale for a comic shop, I asked if he wanted to join me, since he might be able to find some back issues. And I warned him. I said, you know, I spend way too much time sometimes at these things where I'm sifting through the back bins. I go, will you mind if I do that? And he said to me, well, that's the best part, right? And he probably took just as long as I did. So it was a great partner to have. And we hit up some comic cons this summer, in the springtime. It was great. So I said, let me think of that podcast idea. Let's go back to it. Ask him if he wants to do it. And we're doing it. It's getting done. We got everything in line, and we're gonna try to do it weekly. Should be good.
Sounds good.
All right. So how are we gonna lay this out? This weekly podcast. How are we gonna do it?
Well, from what you've explained to me, we're gonna start with a type of news segment where we talk about any exciting announcements from any area of interest. That's what I think is unique about our show. We won't just be focusing on comics, touch on music, on books and stuff. I personally am really into music, so I like following a lot of different artists and stuff like that. And then after our news section, we're going to talk about the pick of the week. I believe we'll each have a different one,
mm-hmm.
and it can be kind of whatever we've discovered that week that we're into.
Mm-hmm.
And then after that, we will get into the main topic of the week, where we both looked at something, listened to something, music, CD, book, and we'll give our opinions on how we feel about said thing.
Said subject. Yeah, I like it. And I like that it's gonna be diverse. I love those podcasts that focus on something like a specialty, but I like also the ones that have a little bit of a mixture of things that you can kind of broaden your horizons and hear something about a good movie or not so good movie or music. And I know that you don't just listen to music the way I do. You're not an avid music listener. You're in a band, right?
I am. We're called Hey Listen, inspired by Ocarina of Time from Legend of Zelda.
That's geek credentials. You name your band Hey Listen because of Ocarina of Time, you get the fanboy halo on you for sure.
It's just from Navi, not really
the game. Still, you have to play the game enough to have her say that enough times to you to make it catch on, right? Yeah. To name your band that. So that's pretty cool. How many instruments do you play?
I play quite a few. I know, like, the drums, the guitar, and then, like, other obscure ones, like trumpet and stuff.
So
like
you're a
that.
One-man band. A cornucopia. That's what you called it one time, right?
Yeah,
a cornucopia of instruments. Yeah, that's good. Awesome. So for me, I listen to music just for the, you know, like the average listener would, and I enjoy it, but to have somebody who can explain the technical side of things, I enjoy that as well. I had a guy that I worked with who was in a band himself and played music in high school, and he really explained a lot of the value of some of the music that was out there that I didn't really pay attention to. So I like being able to get that in-depth viewpoint of something. One of the things I think is going to be interesting too about this show is that we're not generations apart, but there is an age difference where our viewpoint of things might be different because of a 10-year gap. I'm 30 and you're closing in on you're
almost 20.
But you're also got a well-rounded knowledge of different types of books and music. Like you don't just have like a 19-year-old view of, oh, this is what I like because I'm this age. What are some of the books you like?
I'm a really big fan of Ray Bradbury and his stuff. My favorite one from his is Something Wicked This Way Comes. Not necessarily like the best story, but that's just like the first one I read from him, so I'm nostalgic that way. Then I read a lot of sci-fi, like Philip K. Dick and stuff. Then classics like Wind in the Willows. That one's like... All right. Actually, I'm not big on that one. I don't know what I said.
But you read it.
Yeah, I've read that one. And then, like, The Great Gatsby, Grapes of Wrath, stuff like that, Mice and Men. Just try and read the classic stuff, too.
So I don't know if I ever asked you this. I knew you liked those authors from before, but this is a new question. What got you to try those type of books? Because do you have like people who are saying, hey, read this, or your parents were readers, like these books are in the house? What made you say, I'm going to read Of Mice and Men or The Great Gatsby? I was 19. I never thought about reading those books. I've read them now.
Our parents were really big readers. They never pushed like certain stuff. They never even really pushed reading, but like obviously then that's an influence. And then I had a teacher in high school, and he really promoted the classics, and he said, if you want to be able to write anything worth reading, you need to read the stuff that was worth writing.
Okay.
So that was kind of cool. So I was like, okay, why are these classics? I might as well go back and read them.
I have the same approach too. I didn't like the stuff that was chosen in high school. Like I remember I had to do there was a class where we had to read 1984 and it was just given to us.
That's so good though.
It was a good book. But see, when I was in grade 11, I think I was like 16, 17 years old, I just wanted to listen to music and music-related stuff. And the teacher one day put a paper on the desk and said, okay, write an essay now about the book. And we hadn't been reading it in class. It was kind of like our own personal reading we had to do, and I didn't touch that book.
Oh, no.
And so I literally had to put on the paper, I did not read this book. I apologize. But as an adult, I read it, and I look back thinking, like, I should have read this back then. Maybe I probably wouldn't have appreciated it or understood it, but yeah, it's pretty cool that you already are up to speed on those classics. That's pretty wicked.
I'm blushing.
You're back. So when we go into these other segments, we're going to go into a new segment. We're going to go into Pick of the Week, and then our Topic of the Week. You're going to hear this sound, and that's when you know we're changing over to that next subject. So let's get into the news subject for this week. So the latest thing that is pretty big news in the realm of comic books, we'll stick to that for this news topic because I think it's pretty big news, is DC announced a slate of movies for the next 5 years. It's on CBR, I saw it. Comic Book Resources, And from 2016 to 2020, they've got, I think, 8 movies lined up. Maybe more, 10 movies it looks like. Did you hear about these?
I believe you mentioned most of them to me. Okay. But besides that, I haven't looked anything into them, though.
And then after we had talked about that, I had seen a picture of Jenna Malone that she's going to be in the Batman v Superman Dawn of Justice.
Yeah.
Who's she going to play?
She's going for Carrie.
Carrie Kelly Robin. What do you think of that? That's a pretty big... It's not... Everyone likes that version of Batman, it seems. But to put that out of... There's never been... Actually, there was. Dick Grayson was in the crappy Batman movies. But to put this Robin, this version, a futuristic version of Robin, who's only...
I don't understand why they can't just go with Dick Grayson. Why do they need to... Because they're following the, like, Batman, the Dark Knight Returns series. But, like, think about it long term. They're getting into, like, more DC stuff. Besides, like, that run on comics, she hasn't expanded.
No.
Anywhere. Like,
why wouldn't they even try Tim Drake?
Any of them. Just
if Batman's going to be that age, right? They can insert a Tim Drake version. And then you can, from there, you can do a Titans spinoff. Wouldn't that be good?
Oh, yeah. And they should have done Titans instead of Suicide Squad. What the heck is that?
Yeah. So what do you think of the Suicide Squad? I think they're kind of going for the Guardians of the Galaxy thing, yeah. Where let's throw something at them that they might not expect. And maybe it'll stick and do real well.
And I think if she's done right, Harley Quinn can be really entertaining.
Yeah.
But at the same time, if she's not done right, she's just annoying.
True.
So.
Well, they had a version of the Suicide Squad in that Assault on Arkham.
Yeah.
Remember, we saw that together. What did you think of those? Because that's pretty much the band of characters that they're going to have.
Yeah.
What do you think of that version?
It was good. I don't remember caring too much about any of the individual characters, but it was a cool story.
Yeah.
We'll see.
What about the... this is what I was thinking about the other day. This Batman-Superman movie and the lineup of movies that are coming out. Why don't we go through the list of all of them that are coming out before we get ahead of ourselves. There's Batman-Superman 2016. Then you got Suicide Squad, which is going to be directed by David Ayer. Wonder Woman, starring Gal Gadot, who's also in Superman Batman.
Yep. I heard that they are following the new 52, too. That she's going to be, like, daughter of Zeus or whatever. They aren't sticking to, like, classic Wonder Woman stuff.
And from what I've heard, I haven't read it, but from what I've heard, that's one of the... You know, all the criticism that the new 52 gets, there's been a couple of good things coming out of it. One of them was Wonder Woman. Yeah. I heard that line of books was really good. The other one is after Wonder Woman is going to be the Justice League Part 1, directed by Zack Snyder, and Ben Affleck's going to be in it as Batman, Cavill as Superman, Amy Adams, Lois Lane, all reprising their roles.
Yeah.
And then The Flash, which is starring Ezra Miller. I'm not sure where he's from, but it's definitely not the guy from the television show.
No.
Aquaman, starring Jason Momoa. He is from Game of Thrones.
Yeah.
He's not a guy I would have picked to be...
I've seen a picture of them all, and, like, he looks like he could be a pretty mean Aquaman.
Yeah. He looks like he could be the king of Atlantis. He's jacked. And then Shazam in 2019, which is going to have...
Wait, who's Ezra Miller playing?
He's playing Flash.
Oh, he's the guy from Perks of the Wallflower. He's weird.
All yeah? Right.
That'll be interesting.
I don't know. So after Shazam, that's going to have Dwayne Johnson as Black Adam. And then they're going to go with Justice League Part 2. And then here's an interesting one. Cyborg.
Yeah.
Starring Ray Fisher. What do you think of a Cyborg movie?
Is he not going to be introduced then to the Justice League?
He will. He will. He's there's talk about him being in the Batman v Superman movie. Vic Stone is going to be in
it. He'll make a cameo as him, but like... And the same then, like, what's coming out after that? Green Lantern?
Green Lantern's like, coming out after Cyborg. Is Green Lantern
going to be in it?
I have no idea.
It doesn't make any sense. Like, you're going to make a team movie and then branch it off for all these...
So here's something that I looked at this list and I said, okay, I see Flash, Aquaman, Cyborg, Green Lantern, Shazam, all what are in the Justice League currently. Mm. Wonder Woman, and they've never had these movies before. Like, Wonder Woman definitely needs her own movie.
Yeah.
Because Marvel doesn't have a response to that character. They don't have the equivalent to match that release.
Yeah, they had Miss Marvel, but she was never very big.
Yeah, she's not in that same league.
Yeah.
But they don't have a solo Batman movie, and they don't have... And I know what I'm about to say, but hear me out. They don't have a Man of Steel sequel. I don't consider Batman v Superman a Man of Steel 2. Even though Cavill's in it and Amy Adams is in it, it's so much happening. Like, you've got Ben Affleck has really stolen the whole show of what this movie's going to be.
Yeah.
Right? And now Carrie Kelly is in it and Wonder Woman is in it.
Yeah.
And they're saying Aquaman's going to be making an appearance. Like, this is... seems like a prequel to Justice League as opposed to a sequel to Man of Steel.
Yeah, I'd agree with that.
And if they present it that way and say, this is not a sequel to Man of Steel, this just picks up after it,
yeah,
I can maybe stomach it a little more. But because it was originally presented as a Superman sequel, in my mind, I was like, okay, Batman, Superman, that's good enough. We don't need any more of these characters in it. What do you think?
Yeah, if they present it as a prequel, it makes sense why they're shoving... so many people into it.
Yeah.
Because, yeah, I don't know. It's going to be a crowded movie. I just don't want it, you know how Gotham is? Where it's just like, hey, here's a character, and like, here's a character. Hey, look, it's another character you guys know. If it's that for like 2 hours, it's going to be awful.
Yeah, I want a story to be told, and I want these characters to fit in. I don't want to just see, like, oh, look, it's them, it's cool.
Dark Knight Returns, they better do that story justice.
But how can you tell that story... in a Man of Steel sequel? That, do you see what I'm saying? Like, just...
because it's not even about Superman. That story is about Batman.
You're right.
Yeah.
So...
I feel like they're probably just taking elements from it. The conflict or whatever.
Yeah. I don't know. Like, I'm really excited for it because I think everything rests on how well that movie does.
Yeah.
I like the way Ben Affleck is looking, shaping up for the movie. Like, he looks...
he looks like a beefed up guy.
He looks like Bruce Wayne would. And if Bruce Wayne was real, he looks like what Ben Affleck's looking like right now.
Yeah.
And he looks really cool in the suit. I like the tone that they're going for. But why wouldn't they come out with a Man of Steel sequel or a Batman solo movie with Affleck in it?
I understand the Batman solo one because they just finished like Christopher Nolan's run.
Sure.
Like, no one wants to touch Batman after that. Could you imagine if they made it and by chance it sucked? That would be terrible.
Absolutely.
Plus, they're using it to, like, branch. Obviously, they have a long-term plan now. So, it kind of makes sense. The Batman story has been told.
True.
Everyone's like, yeah, okay, we get it.
But if this is going to be, like,
different universe.
The Nolan movies were Batman basically begins, right? For lack of a better term. Like, this is his, how he started, what he dealt with in his early years. Now, Ben Affleck is playing an older version of this guy. So there's so many other stories they could go into. They could do a Court of Owls movie if they wanted to with the older Batman. They could do a Hush. They could actually do a Dark Knight Returns if they wanted to with having a guy that looks like that, I think.
Yeah.
I don't know. Which any of these movies other than Suicide Squad that you think they could do without? There's Aquaman. I'd like to see an Aquaman movie. That'd be cool. I don't know about Flash, because they got the TV show now, which looks like it's, you know...
yeah, like it's going to be good.
It's good. Yeah, it's up and running, for no pun intended, but it looks like it's going to be okay. How about Green Lantern relaunching? But look how far they put it. They put it right at the end.
Everyone forget about that thing we did.
Yeah, I don't know. I think that's the biggest disappointment in the DC movie universe is that the potential for what that movie could have been, seeing what Guardians of the Galaxy was,
mm-hmm.
being this cosmic story, I think Green Lantern has way more potential to be a better movie than that if they did it right. But I think it's, I don't know, that one there, I think people are, it's going to take time for them to forget about that story. Well, they've already forgotten, but to want to go watch it, another movie with a Green Lantern title, you know what I mean? Okay. Well, we'll have to wait and see. Is there any that you're looking forward to? Like, that one's definitely, I gotta see it, opening day.
Because it's so far in advance, and they'll have other stuff planned. I'm excited for Cyborg.
Yeah?
Because, like, they're going to introduce him as character of the Justice League, but my hope is Teen Titans. Come on, Teen Titans.
You know what? I know they're really DC's really pushing Cyborg in the Justice League to make him like a main character. I think, personally, I would rather see a Nightwing movie.
Yeah. Since I'd rather see Teen Titans, but that's just me.
But a Nightwing leading into Teen Titans?
Yeah.
Or a Titans, not necessarily teen, yeah. Teen, but yeah. I think that's the way you would go about it. He's kind of like, I don't know, the heart and soul of that team.
Yeah.
Right?
And then they're introducing, yeah, how the heck can you do that if you're introducing Carrie?
I don't know. We'll have to wait and see. So there's not even like a trailer or nothing.
Yeah.
And now they're talking about, on the Marvel side, Civil War.
Yeah.
What do you think is going to... Those movies come out in the same year, months apart from each other. Batman v Superman, Civil War. Which one do you think is going to take the victory at the box office?
Civil War.
Yeah?
Yeah.
Why?
It's like, that's a pretty epic story. Granted, they don't have all the characters introduced. I think that makes it so good. Like, the whole difference between, like, Reed Richards and Sue Storm throughout that. And then, like, Spider-Man plays a pretty big role in,
yeah.
in it. Like, they don't have a lot of the characters, so I think it's a risk. But, if anything, Marvel has shown that they can take risks. They introduced, like, a B-side.
Yeah.
Guardians of the yeah. Galaxy, and it's one of the best movies people are saying they have.
Yeah.
So.
That's true. But, I mean, Superman and Batman. Like... Opening weekend. This is the first time they're going to be together on a silver screen. This is the most iconic characters. In my opinion, I think the comic book world was built on the backs of Superman and Batman. Not saying that they're the only ones that are good. I'm just saying that that's the legacy. They're the first real superheroes.
Just saying, movie-wise, DC has let us down more than Marvel has.
Yeah.
So for quality of movie,
okay.
I wouldn't be surprised if Civil War.
But yeah, hey, I wouldn't be surprised either. I wouldn't be surprised either.
Yeah.
All right. So moving on. Pick of the week now. This is our first episode. Pick of the week. Let's go with you first. What's your pick of the week?
My pick of the week is actually an app for, I believe they made it for iPhone and Android. It's called A Dark Room. It originally was a computer game that they adapted. It was adapted by a guy for mobile devices. It's just like a text adventure. There's no pictures or anything. Very little instruction. You kind of just get thrown right into this world. But there is like a definite story and a definite tone to it. And it's all a lot of just like... I wouldn't call it self-discovery, but like... You're finding a lot of stuff on your own. It's very much like an RPG. In the sense that, like, there's a map you can explore and, like...
Is it a mystery? Like a murder mystery?
No.
Or
well...
What's the premise?
It's not, like, a definite mystery, no. I refuse to tell the premise, because, like, that's, like, the best thing about the game.
Yeah?
Is, like...
How did you discover it?
It came up on top-rated apps on iTunes.
So you just gave it a shot?
Yeah. I figured might as well. It was, like, half price. I think it's, like, $3 on the App Store. Definitely worth it, though.
Yeah.
It takes about like 4 hours to finish. And then when you do finish, there's like cool interviews with the guys that created it. And they explain like a lot more behind it. And it's just wicked.
Okay.
It's really cool.
So it's worth the $3.
Absolutely.
When you play it the second time, is it a different game or is it the same thing again?
It is the same thing again, but like I played it again just because once you understand everything that's happening.
There's more to discover.
Yeah, a lot more to like the story. You understand what you're doing more.
Okay.
It's pretty cool.
Okay, interesting. I like that pick. It's not something I would have expected. It's good. Okay, my pick of the week is going to be a Marvel Now graphic novel. It's The Uncanny Avengers Book 1 from Rick Remender and John Cassaday. This is the first, or the launching, not the launching book, the book that Marvel Now went with after the events of Avengers X-Men, where, spoiler alert, in the end of Avengers vs. X-Men, Cyclops takes out Charles Xavier, kills him. Cyclops has become a little bit more of a Magneto type of character in the Marvel Universe right now. So the premise of Uncanny X-Men is a team-up of sorts between X-Men characters with Avenger characters and Captain America realizing that the Avengers, the superheroes in the Avengers, need to do more and for the protection of mutant kind. So they make this team up, but Captain America isn't the leader of the Uncanny Avengers. He gives the leadership title to Havoc, who is Alex Summers, Cyclops' brother. And the cool part is, without spoiling any of the story, because I think you might like it if you read it, it's very sci-fi, but also just a good superhero story in general. The first issue ends with the Red Skull taking the body of Charles Xavier and removing his brain to use it for telekinetic or telepathic powers.
That's crazy.
It's pretty cool. It's a good book. I heard a podcast about it from Echo Rift Podcast. Don Garvey recommended it, and most of his picks I really, really like, so I went with it and I enjoyed it. So I suggest it to everybody out there. So now, you ready to move on?
Yep.
All right. So, topic of the week. What did we pick for our first week topic? You picked this one.
Yeah, I chose Aquaman, his first volume in the New 52, The Trench.
Okay, so New 52, you think you can handle explaining that to people? Or is it too much?
I understand they relaunched a bunch of titles. The only ones that stayed the same were Batman and Green Lantern, yeah?
Pretty much, yeah.
Okay. And then basically like all the other origins have all been rewritten now.
Mm-hmm.
So they've redone Aquaman.
What do you think of New 52?
So far, I like it. Everything I've read, I've been very impressed with.
You like it. Now, did you have any big investment in the old DC universe that would affect your... Because you said you read Robin.
Yeah. And you, like, that series kind of ended.
Okay.
So, yeah, no, I had no huge investments in DC before. If anything, I like the fact that now it's kind of somewhat cleaned up.
You can catch up.
Yeah.
Okay, it's a good jumping on point. Yeah, so, like Joey said, they restarted, DC rebooted their universe pretty much, but... The thing with DC in comparison to Marvel has a very strong continuity. All their characters live in a similar timeline, similar universe. Their lives interject with each other, and they're often on the same adventures. It's easy to keep up with these characters, kind of seeing where they are. With DC, they had so many multi-universes and Earth 1 and Earth 5, and it got very convoluted and confusing. And they tried to clean it up in the 80s with Crisis on Infinite Earths, and rebooted it then, a softer reboot, I would say. They really changed Superman back then. And then they did it a couple other times between softer reboots, kind of trying to revitalize a character, changing a little bit of the timeline. But this time, they went all out. Now, with Aquaman, did you ever read Aquaman at all before?
No.
Me neither. I wanted him in the Justice League. If I was going to read a Justice League book, I want to see Aquaman there. But if he wasn't there, well, you know what? Because he's one of the original six,
yeah.
Right? So I'm like, okay, if I he's one of those characters like Aquaman, Superman, Batman, Green Lantern, Wonder Woman, and Martian Manhunter, or The Flash. I want to see those guys together, those seven.
Yeah.
But if he wasn't there, I'd be okay with it. You know, Fishman.
To be honest, would you even notice?
In an outer space story, no. On maybe a terrestrial story on Earth, yes. But you're right. Like, I don't know if I would notice.
Yeah.
But what attracted you to say, okay, let me give this book a shot?
Because, I don't know. The cover looks pretty cool.
The cover?
He's holding things. He looks, like, different. I don't know. He's not smiling. He looks like he's wants to kill some people. He looks angry.
He looks like he's got a bit more of an attitude.
Yeah. And that, like, then also I heard through reviews and stuff, and you told me that this run is being recognized as, like, actually good. Changing Aquaman.
Yeah, and I can't say that anything before this was good or bad, because I didn't read it. I looked at the list of prior creators. They were all reputable guys who would have known what to do with him, but I never read it.
Yeah.
So what was your... Prior to reading this, what did you think of Aquaman when you heard his name?
Like, you recognize that he could have cool powers, I thought he, like, controlled the oceans and stuff and, like, controlled fish or whatever. So, like, you recognize he could have cool stuff, but at the same time, it's like, who cares? He never does anything, like, recognizable, nothing cool.
Yeah.
That I knew of, so.
Did you have that feeling that if he was away from water, like, that's just how you kill him? Like, take him away from water and you're good.
No, because I always thought, like, he could call water and, like, I don't know where I got the idea from, but I thought he could, like, take the moisture out of the atmosphere.
Hmm.
Or something like that. So I thought that was never, like, a problem for him. So when I talked about it in this, I was like, what the heck? Why are they saying that? I don't know. It must be a thing.
Yeah. And before we get into this book, I do appreciate the fact that within this volume, they do address all of those...
You can talk to fish.
Yeah. All those jokes that are on SNL and Big Bang Theory where they make fun of this character. So this book, Geoff Johns, Ivan Reis... Geoff Johns is my personal favorite DC writer. Have you read anything else from him that comes to mind yourself that you enjoyed?
I'm sure I have. I read a bit of the Green Lantern and it was good. Not huge on Green Lantern, but I recognize good writing.
Yeah. And that's what he's known for. Geoff Johns is primarily known for his long... He doesn't just write a book for like 12 issues. He took The Flash, he did like over 100 issues.
Yeah.
Same with Green Lantern. So when he gets into a character, he really wants to work with it and develop it. And he likes to take those characters, like a Green Lantern, who people recognize, but have kind of been put to the wayside,
yeah,
and get back to the classic element of those characters. So with this one, I said, okay, Geoff Johns is writing it. I'm going to give it a shot. It's Aquaman. I'm sure he's going to do something cool with it.
Yeah.
So the one thing I noticed when I was reading this cover here, I don't know if you saw it, but on the second issue cover, it's the opposite viewpoint. It's the trench people have seeing him in their sights. Did you notice that?
No.
That's pretty cool. Yeah. I like that the covers were kind of telling a story in themselves in these first two issues. But the story is basically, the synopsis is Arthur Curry, Aquaman, who's half Atlantean royalty and his father's a human, is now living in Boston. And he has a home, a lighthouse home, just off of the coast of Maine. And he's there with Mira, his, I don't know if that's his wife or his girlfriend, doesn't really say, but his partner. And he has a home there. So the first scene of the book, he foils a crime, looks like a bank robbery of some sort, and the cops are embarrassed that they've been one-upped by Aquaman. No one's ever going to let him live it down.
Yeah.
And the way he does it, like... This guy is a force to be reckoned with. He's not just like
He's like pitchforks the truck.
Yeah. Pitchforks the truck. They shoot bullets at him. He's got this chainmail...
fish scale.
Fish scale armor type of thing that's just bulletproof. Can't be hurt.
I question that. If I shot a fish, it scales with me.
But he's got Atlantean
yeah.
armor. So he then goes close to home to a seafood restaurant, which was kind of funny. And the reaction of the people when this guy walks in, everyone drops their jaw because here's the king of the sea or the fish
yeah,
man
the
coming in.
Like, oh, I'm so sorry for serving fish.
And he actually orders fish and chips.
Yeah.
And one guy comes into the booth.
Ah, that guy, he was annoying too.
Yeah, you want to punch him in the face.
Yeah.
And he just starts asking Aquaman all of these questions for his blog.
Yeah.
He's probably a podcaster.
Probably.
And he's saying, you know, what's it like to be the least favorite superhero or to be the one that everyone doesn't like. What does he say here? How's it feel to be a punchline? How's it feel to be the laughing stock? You're nobody's favorite superhero. And Aquaman just walks out. One thing.
Just like hit him.
Yeah, and he had that. The trident with him too. He's just going to right through the shoulder one time.
Yeah.
This guy was a jerk. So this was a special place for him because this is where his dad used to take him. I love that the shots with his dad. When he looks
yeah.
back, all the reminiscing. And I really like the Ivan Reis's artwork. There's something about, I don't know if you caught it, but he's got like a motion in each panel.
Like the face?
Not just the face, but what the characters are doing. Maybe this is something I'm looking into too much because I don't really know how to describe artwork because I don't know how to draw. I can't draw a stick man, but... I was trying to look at this one and see what it was exactly that I liked about it. And there was a scene that I saw with even just the way he was from one panel to another, the way he looks at somebody and his next gesture is moving, it's very fluid, I find. Whereas sometimes there's great pictures in a book that tell a good story, good pacing, but this one I found each facial expression leading into the next panel was meaningful. Yeah. But you said something about the eyes.
Oh, yeah. There are a few times where, like, the eyes or the mouth look really, like, wonky and kind of out of place. Like that one. Yeah.
Which one?
Down there. Yeah. Anyways, yeah. So, like, a few places where, like, I don't know, just something's off with the eyes.
I paid attention to that, too, when I read it. And you noticed it a little bit? And it was... Yeah, I found, like, sometimes it was... they would creep me out a little bit.
Yeah, it's such, like, a little thing, but I don't know. When I read, I look at them, like, the face for...
But
like,
his faces are very high definition, I find. His art is very high definition.
Yeah.
It really brings you into the scene. And then in this part here with Mira, I mean, I know you guys can't see the pictures over the your headphones, but she's putting her hair back and looking at him. There's that fluidity in the
so
motion.
So romantic.
Yeah, very romantic. But what did you think of the plot of this story? What was it that he was having to deal with? We kind of set up his world where he lives.
Personally, I wasn't huge on it. I thought it was pretty straightforward. Granted, that's probably what you need to do with a character like Aquaman to like introduce him to the world, but it was too predictable for me.
Yeah.
Like, it played out exactly like some like monster movie.
Yeah.
Monsters come, there's a fight, the bad guy kind of, or the good guy kind of loses, but he captures one of the monsters, brings it to a scientist, the scientist is like, ooh, this must be from there. They go to the source and they eliminate them. It was like, halfway through I was like, okay, I know how this is going to end.
Okay.
And that for me kind of takes me out of the story. But as soon as it gets to the lost issue, then it started picking up.
Okay.
Yeah.
So what Jay's referring to is these monsters take over this ship, this fishing boat, and the next issue continues with these, they're eating these people, but also putting them into like a cocoon to save them.
Yeah.
Right? For food for later on. And they're called the Trench. They come from the Trench, but they're referred to as being the Trench as well. And they're these piranha-looking monster with their face like
bioluminescent
with their
things.
Bioluminescent
cool.
screen. Yeah, that was cool. I thought they were pretty cool design, character design. And they really do pose a threat to Aquaman when he does confront them for the first time. He gets a...
What's that stuff they like spray on him? Because like there's like the captain or whatever of their team.
Yeah.
The leader, and he like sprays stuff on him.
Yeah,
like,
and
this
it numbs...
my food.
Yeah, and it numbs their body, right?
Yeah.
It gives him like a tingly feeling he describes. And then he
like
gets
the lizard thing from Jurassic Park.
Yeah, that's what it made me think of, actually.
Yeah.
When I saw the way they were designed, it kind of made me think of those characters. And when they swarm Aquaman in that battle, he realizes he can't stop them all. And they actually get to him. They give him the Princess Bride bite to the shoulder. You know, the one that Wesley gets? Did you ever watch Princess Bride?
Yeah. Oh, from like
the giant
rats.
Yeah, the ROUSs. He gets that bite on the shoulder.
Yeah.
It breaks the armor that he wears.
Yeah.
So they're getting to him.
I wonder if it refers to Princess Bride bite. I like that.
Yeah. Well, you look at it, right? He's got
he
that thing right
on,
in
like,
the same
shoulder.
Spot.
Yeah.
So I thought that was cool.
Rodents of unusual size.
That's a good movie. We should do an episode of that movie. So then he takes, like you said, he takes these creatures to a scientist, Stephen Shin, who played an important role in Arthur's life when he was a kid. He trained him to use his powers when they were starting to develop, but then he tried to kill him.
Yeah.
Because
he wants to know where Atlantis is.
Yeah, he wants to know where Atlantis is, and he spazzes out on Arthur, tries to kill him. So they got like this close relationship, but it's got an obvious strain.
Yeah. He tried to kill him.
That
was a little bit of a strain.
A little bit. But he goes back to him and he explains exactly what these creatures are. But one thing I did pay attention to this time, like you said, this story is very linear. It's very basic.
Yeah.
It monster kind of tale. He fights the bad guys, figures out where they're from. But there's these little hints that are dropped. Stephen Shin actually says one where he looks at Arthur. He says, "You kept that trident. Despite all the trouble it might bring, he's going to come looking for it."
Yeah, I feel like there's like wicked backstory going on too.
And so I like that setup that Geoff Johns is
progress into something much better. So I recognize this as the lead in.
Yes.
Yeah.
So I for that aspect of it, I really like the way Geoff Johns neatly sets the table, drops a couple of hints. He's good at that. He did that with Green Lantern.
Yeah.
From the beginning, he dropped little things where he was going to set up to something really big to happen. And would you read the next one?
Absolutely.
Okay.
Because it ends with such like a sweet, like the next book I feel like will be like so.
Yeah.
Not much better, but like much better.
Payoff. Payoff.
Payoff. That's a good word.
Yeah. So Stephen Shin shows him or explains to him what these monsters would be, where they'd be from. He says the trench, Mariana's Trench, I think he refers to it. That's where they would come from.
I don't think he actually outright says Mariana's Trench, but I thought that was implied.
Yeah, I think that is implied.
Because it's like all so deep. Where else? The trench.
And they go to him and Mira, go down there and find their lair and see just how many there are. And see how many...
Like, even that is a hint that their lair is, like, in an old Atlantean ship or whatever. And
yes.
And there's a scene in the last issue where he has, like, the transmission from, like, forget the name, but, like, the general guy. And he's like, we hear them, we crash landed.
Yes.
Or something.
That's
so
right.
Wicked.
Yeah.
It's like, it's setting up for something so cool.
Yeah, it is. So what did you... Your overall view of this book after it's all said and done. Like, I really enjoyed it. I read it for a second time. And I liked it. Well, what did you think of it?
Overall, the story was too basic for me.
Okay.
But I recognized the value of a story like this. And then you mentioning the hints now, I'm thinking, I'm like, hey, yeah, there are definite like things he dropped setting it up or whatever. So absolutely makes me want to read the next one. And makes me feel like the next one will, as you said, be a bigger payoff for putting up with somewhat of a linear story.
Yeah. Yeah, I liked it. One of the little things I did like was the dog that he rescued from the beginning. And then they give him the dog to keep.
Yeah.
I thought that was really nice. That no dogs die.
They better change the name though, Aqua Dog.
I don't know if that's what they keep calling him. That's what the cop who brings the dog over says you should call it Aqua Dog. Aqua Lad, Aqua Dog.
Call it like Aqua. Aqua. Yeah. Crypto and Aqua. Justice League will have a dog.
Two dogs. And Batman has a dog too named Ace. I found it very easy to read through. Like I noticed with Ivan Reis and Geoff Johns, and it could be because Geoff Johns can draw himself. He wanted to be an artist. So he lays out all the pages to his stories and then kind of fills it in, knowing where to put the dialogue afterwards. He lets the artist obviously do what they do best. But I found that there's a lot of panels and pictures that tell the story without there being any words. So you get through this pretty quick.
Yeah.
But you get a lot of story just the same, I find. Even though it's, like you said, a little bit basic. It's not hard to follow, and I think that was meant.
Yeah.
So anyone can jump on, read Aquaman, and say, okay.
Yeah.
It's not so complicated. I really like the last issue that focused on Mira.
Yeah.
Where she goes to the to buy groceries.
Makes a friend. Yeah.
That was pretty cool. How she was really trying to protect these women that were getting sexually assaulted or victimized by the father who broke out of prison to kill his daughter because he had gone, I guess, postal. He's a little crazy. And she's trying to figure out how these people function, what their sense of justice is. What did you think of Mira?
I thought it was cool seeing her mirrored with like Aquaman because they're so similar but different. Like, because she, I don't know, she doesn't put up with, like, the humans. Like, she lets herself get arrested in the end. And then as soon as they get over there, she's like, I'll take care of this. And just snaps the handcuffs and the stuff.
Yeah.
I thought that was almost, like, parallel to his with, like, the annoying blogger guy.
Okay.
What he could have done, he could have just snapped on him, hit him, or whatever. But he just walks away. Mira walks kind of into it.
Yeah.
I thought that was interesting.
And Aquaman has this desire to just be on the human side, to protect the people. He's not interested in his King of Atlantis heritage as it was.
I hope they don't change it into like he just wants to be accepted, because like that would make him into a bit of a weenie again. So
I don't know if You gotta read the next ones because the movie's coming out soon. Yeah. The Throne of Atlantis. That's right directly from these books.
I'll be sick.
Yeah, it is a pretty epic battle. I found Mira to be kind of like a Wonder Woman coming from a royal line, kind of these goddess kind of characters with these supernatural powers. And she's got this sense of this is what's right, this is what's wrong.
Oh, when she pulls the water out of the guy.
Wasn't that awesome?
That was awesome. And that's what I mean. That's what I thought Aquaman could do. Yeah. I thought he could pull the, like, moisture.
Because they said, you know, you're not around water. Isn't that going to be it? She goes, that's not a problem for me. That's a problem for you.
Yeah.
Because she could take water, the moisture out of our bodies, which I thought was...
Yeah, that was wicked.
Like, yeah, these Aquaman's no joke. Like, this guy could...
Yeah.
Really do some damage. He's not the cheesiest member of the Justice League for sure. I did enjoy it. I liked the artwork a lot. I thought Ivan Reis' storytelling was really well done. The one thing that I found difficult was the way Mira's face looked. I don't know if you noticed, sometimes she was like pretty and then she's got like those faces.
That's what I mean. Okay, why do you think that face isn't pretty? Look at the eyes, too far apart.
But even
she
just like
weird.
But even just the lips and the way like from one picture to another, like she, I guess it's fitting. She kind of looks like a fish character. Like when you look at her face, doesn't she look like some sort of aquatic type?
Yeah, she looks. I don't know. I was thinking like with the red hair, so typical. I was thinking like Ariel
from Little Mermaid.
Yeah. Oh, okay.
And her dad actually sent her out originally, spoilers by the way, to take out Aquaman.
Yeah, that's
that was her original mission.
Kind of laid in the backstory.
Yeah, but it ends. It definitely ends with you wanting to see what happened because it says, "In one night, Atlantis was destroyed. Who sank Atlantis?" And I remember you say always referring to Atlantis. You gotta, weren't you saying that you'd want to find Atlantis or see Atlantis? Was it?
No, I want a picture of Atlantis. I want
picture
someone
of Atlantis.
A picture of Atlantis.
What's your fascination with it?
I don't know. Because I like Greek mythology and stuff. I think it's cool. Granted, it's not necessarily Greek. Who is it that wrote about him? Was it Plato?
I don't know.
Was in like Ulysses. No. No.
We're going to get corrected for this one.
Yeah. I can't remember what it is. It's by one of those like older philosopher guys. It's just like a little like blurb, and that's where like Atlantis kind of really sprung from.
Mm.
People thought that he was talking about like an actual place. Maybe he was.
Maybe he was.
I don't know.
Did your the Phantom Menace when they go to that first
the Gungan
scene?
City?
Yeah,
that's cool.
Did that ever make you think of Atlantis?
Maybe think of Atlantis. Yeah, and then they had it filled with Jar Jar like characters, the Gungans, and you're like, I hope Atlantis is.
You don't like Jar Jar?
I don't know.
You don't want him in the next Star Wars movies?
I don't know how to feel about Jar Jar.
Oh, come on. Everyone loves Jar Jar. He was the best part of that the prequels.
What? Darth Maul. Darth Maul was the best. Oh, Darth Maul was wicked.
Alright, so we'll wrap it up there for this week. I think that was a good first outing.
I feel good.
Feel good about this
feel
one?
Loose.
Yeah, me too.
It's just the next week's, right now.
We could.
Yeah.
I think we know enough about the next subject.
Let's do it.
Do you know what, you want to tell them what we're going to do for the next episode?
I believe we're going to be watching Batman Begins.
Yeah. That's a good one. I have a soft spot for that movie,
but... like the 100th time.
You've seen it for
a lot of times.
So we're going to be able to break it down pretty good.
That
That's
so.
Good. We'll be more knowledgeable about Batman than we are of Aquaman.
Yeah.
All right, cool. So... we'll sign out there. Just so you guys know, we are going to be setting up a website soon. We've got email if you want to contact us at caveofsolitude@outlook.com. Also, you can follow us on Instagram right now at @cometcaveofsolitude. And it'll be the caveofsolitude.com website coming soon. So stay posted for that. Thanks for listening. This was Cave of Solitude, Episode 1. Talk to you later.